It's a Thursday afternoon, Sound of Extra Style here on the Solid Monster Sounds of YouTube channel. And this means we're only a few days away from SummerSlam, or should I say, the SummerSlam. The SummerSlam 2020 is coming up this weekend. And this is your SummerSlam prediction stream here for Thursday, August 20th, 2020. That's a lot of 20s. I am the Solid Monster, back from my second stream of four in 5 days. If you missed it, I had a rare NXT stream last night. Usually we're talking AEW, and AEW was not on last night. AEW has been preempted until this weekend, and so NXT had the night all to itself. Very curious to see what the numbers are when they come in this afternoon. But if you missed it, you can go back and check out. It was a fun stream last night. Hit that like button. We got a lot of people filtering in on a Thursday afternoon. Pull up a snack, right? It's lunchtime. I guess unless you're on the West Coast. Maybe you're in a different country. Could still be morning. Make yourself some lunch anyway. Grab a snack, grab a beverage, pull the chair on up. It's going to be a fun time. I also want to give a plug here because we're doing something a little special on Sunday. This is a prediction stream for SummerSlam, right? Well, I'm going to be live again on Sunday night, and we're going to be talking SummerSlam. And one of the things that we're going to be doing, and I'm very excited about this, is the Wrestle Rumble contest. Now, I've done this the last few months. And as Batista, a very lewd image of Batista just obscured, it has besmirched the SummerSlam Wrestle Rumble poster. But when that disappears, what you're going to see is a poster for the Wrestle Rumble draped in gold. There it is, draped in gold contest. For just the buck, you go to WrestleRumble.com right now to enter. For just $1, you get the Winged Eagle belt, Intercontinental Classic, Tag Team Championship, Classic Belts, and a Mystery Championship that will be revealed once I pick the winner on Sunday night. I'll be doing the live drawing on the live stream, so I hope you will join me right here on YouTube. And by the way, there's another contest going on as well, so there it is. This one I'm not doing live on the air, but you can enter this as well. It's the SummerSlam Winner Take All Pick'em Contest. You can win a Winged Eagle replica and $500 in cold hard cash. Who doesn't want $500 in cash? That one's $10 for one entry, $20 for three, or $30 for five. You can find all that information on WrestleRumble.com. So it is SummerSlam at the Thunderdome this Sunday. Yes, indeed, WWE's Thunder. I almost said Technodrome. I actually think it would have been cooler if it was at the Technodrome. I don't know how many of you are going to get that reference. Some of you may be a little too young for that. But WWE is putting together this thing. They're calling it the Thunderdome. They are so happy that they have finally moved out of the Performance Center. And as somebody who's been watching the shows the last few months, it is nice to see them getting out of the Performance Center. I'm all for trying out other locations. No fans physically allowed in the building. They have a $450,000 lease. It's costing them $450,000 to rent out the Amway Center in Orlando. They have the building all to themselves through the end of October. So that is going to be their home for Raw, for SmackDown, for Main Event, for 205 Live. Pretty much everything except for NXT. That was a Triple H decision. They have a relationship with Full Sail. They don't want to jeopardize that, I guess. And so NXT is going to be staying put right where it is. But that's going to be their home. And they're doing it up. I mean, they're going to have almost a thousand LED video boards that are going to be around the ring. And that is where the fans are going to be virtually beamed in, I guess. You probably won't be able to hear them. It's my guess because, for example, they're doing a test of the technology this evening. And I have signed up. I have no idea if I'm going to be chosen or not, but I did sign up. We'll see if I get an email from WWE in a few hours, then I'll get to be part of the initial test. If not, I'll be heartbroken, but I really won't care. But if I do have the chance to try it out, I'll let you guys know about that. But basically, I don't think they're going to be piping in noise from the fans. They're going to have their own noise, would be my guess. So they're going to have crowd noise, but it's not going to be from the idiots who are trying to start dumb chants or anything like that. But people from home are going to be able to basically live stream, and they'll put you on these video boards. So we're going to get virtual fans on SmackDown tomorrow night, virtual fans at SummerSlam on Sunday. For the first time ever, they're going to have pyro, they're going to have lasers, they're going to have drones. They're going to have all of these different things as part of the Thunderdome. I'm not even sure how they can use that name, you know, with the movie and all those years ago. So, but I guess they're getting away with it, I suppose. So, anyway, the theme for this year's SummerSlam is You'll Never See It Coming. That is the theme for this year's show. And, you know, again, this is, I guess, the new thing now, because all of the events have to have a tagline. It's like when we had the old In Your House shows, right? In Your House, Good Friends, Better Enemies, In Your House, It's Time, In Your House, Degeneration X, all these different shows. So now we're back to that. So we had Backlash, the greatest wrestling match ever. We had Extreme Rules, right? The horror show. That was the tagline there. And now it is SummerSlam, You'll Never See It Coming. We don't have a tagline yet for Payback. Payback is a week from Sunday. We have another pay-per-view coming up. We don't have a tagline for that. They only have a few days to come up with one. But I try to keep that in mind, you know, as I put my predictions together for this. I try to keep that in mind, that whole theme. It's there for a reason. It's there for a reason. The only question is, what's the big angle that they're going to shoot? Is it going to be in the main event at the end of the show? I would think it would have to be. They have to have some kind of big angle in mind that will then get people to want to tune in to see Payback. I assume that's why they're doing it this way. But I guess we'll find out here. Bobby AJ, thank you for the $2, man. Too much wrestling this weekend. Come on, there's never enough wrestling. You got to look at it like this, right? Even if there's a lot of wrestling, if there's a lot of wrestling, that means you get a lot of the sound off. You get more Solomonster on YouTube. That's never a bad thing. So just look at it like that. Even if you don't watch the shows, I expect you to be part of the stream. Mr. Pro Wrestling with the $25 Super Chat drop. It's too bad I don't have my leaderboard up tonight. I'd put you in the number one spot. It says, gotta love a midday stream. Jacob Donnelly with the $10, who is on his lunch break. And Bobby AJ again, what happens if WWE does something crap in the ring and all the virtual fans start chanting AEW? Well, like I just said, I could be wrong. But my guess is going to be that they're not going to have audio from those people. They'll kind of dub their own audio, their own cheers and boos. Because, you know, somebody's going to be an idiot. They're going to want to go into business for themselves, whether it's AEW or something else. I don't envy the person who has to sit there with his finger on the switch, watching wrestling fans watching wrestling. He's got to be quick to the trigger. If they pull their pants down or if they do something obscene, I don't want that job. But let's get into it here. Let's get into it. Hey, Gary Lawrence, thank you for the sub. Appreciate it. Always love seeing Dancing Nakamura on my stream. But I have got a wild, what I think is kind of a wild prediction here. Kind of wild and out there. And it starts with Mandy Rose against Sonya Deville. Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville are going to be having a hair versus hair match. Now, I'm going to talk more about the big story of the week on 666 this Sunday involving Sonya. Thankfully, Mandy and Sonya are okay. I'm sure all of you have heard the story by now. The obsessed, crazed, psycho stalker who apparently sent literally thousands of messages to Sonya Deville across multiple social media accounts over a period of years. He was and continues to be obsessed with this woman to a scary degree. And he was taken into custody this week because he broke into Sonya's home. So it's bad enough to obsess over these people and to stalk them on social media, but he found out where she lived and actually hatched a plot to do God knows what to this woman, kidnap her, and who, I don't even want to think of what else he might have done. And so he went to her home. Mandy Rose happened to be in the home with Sonya. I guess she was staying over, sleeping over, whatever she was doing there. And this guy showed up and he had a knife. He had duct tape. He had zip ties. This guy was ready for bad news. And I think he had cut a hole in one of the doors, like the patio door maybe. Thankfully, she had a home alarm system and the alarm went off. And when she went down to see what the situation was, she I mean, was a matter of feet. She came face to face with this guy who was still outside the home, and she's, you know, saying, what are you doing here? And she ran as she grabbed Mandy, grabbed her car keys, and said, let's get out of here. And the only reason that things didn't end badly is because apparently he thought that they had run upstairs, which is where the cops found him. So he went upstairs. If he knew that they went out the back door, he would have went after them. So, I mean, this whole story is absolutely just insane. And the thing is also, yeah, I saw a lot of people saying that, well, Mandy would have mopped the floor with this because you see a picture of this guy? Mandy would have cleaned his clock. You know, it's easy to say that, but the guy has a knife. You know what I mean? I mean, the guy, if it was fist to fist, I think Mandy could easily, you know, beat the hell out of this guy. But he had a knife. And who knows what other weapons he could have had on him. You know, a knife and a gun is the great equalizer. And you don't want to be stupid in that situation because people are nuts. People are crazy. You don't know what they're going to do. So this could have ended just so badly. And I hope they lock his sick ass up. You know, part of me fears that there's going to be, you know, he's going to get released on bail or there's going to be some kind of technicality. I hope the charges stick and I hope they put him away for a long time. Because this guy should not be walking the streets. And if I'm Sonya Deville, I mean, I'm doing everything I can to make sure this guy stays locked up. So I'm going to talk more about because there's other details that I haven't even gotten into. But yes, indeed, Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville, believe it or not, are still friends in real life. I know the last shred of kayfabe. Kayfabe suffers another mortal blow, unfortunately. All the people who like to think that kayfabe is still strong and kayfabe is still alive and well. I got some bad news for you. Got some bad news for all of you. But let me get into the prediction here. Sonya Deville has been great in her role of late. Ever since she kind of went a little psycho herself, right? Character-wise on TV. And she has been feuding with Mandy Rose. And I think Sonya has been fantastic. I just think her promos and the way that she, you know, kind of has worked the character. It's been great. It's been great. And I'd like to see her doing more. And I thought Mandy, for her part, Mandy knocked it out of the park. She had that promo backstage on SmackDown last week where she threw down the gauntlet. She, you know, issued the challenge to Sonya. And I thought Mandy was great. I thought Mandy did a terrific job as well. I thought she hit a home run in that promo. Mandy already got a haircut, right? She got a haircut by Sonya. So it's easy to think that that means Sonya is the one this time who's got to get her hair cut or her head shaved. And remember, they didn't say that the loser gets shaved bald. At no point did they say that. They just said that it's a hair versus hair match. So for all we know, you know, Mandy could give Sonya the same kind of haircut that Sonya gave to her. That doesn't mean that Sonya is going to be running around bald. She could get the Bailey. They could give her the soccer mom Bailey look, for all we know. But I am predicting a Sonya Deville win. I am predicting a Sonya Deville win in this match. Sonya wins. And now she is going to shave Mandy Rose bald. She's going to shave Mandy Rose's head bald. She's going to finish the job that she started a few weeks ago. And here's how I kind of, this is, again, a bit of an out there prediction. This is a bit of an out there prediction. And by the way, there is somebody on the roof right now. So if you hear any weird noises, there is literally somebody on the roof. We had a really bad storm here a couple of weeks ago. And the gutters on the roof got blown off. I put a picture up on Twitter. I mean, the wind was insane. It was the remnants of the tropical storm that came through on the East Coast. And it ripped the gutters right off the side of the roof. Thankfully, nobody was down below, or that would have been bad news. But now the guy finally came here, and he's literally right on the other side of this wall, scaling on the roof. So if he falls off the roof, you're going to hear it live here on YouTube. I promised you guys action. Right? Not that I'm wishing for that to happen, but stay tuned. So, Sonya wins the match. And she's going to shave Mandy Rose's head. And it's very easy to forget the fact that Otis is the Money in the Bank holder because we haven't really seen much of him on TV, right? Otis has just kind of been out of the loop and off TV, and you just sort of forget, out of sight, out of mind. But this guy has the Money in the Bank briefcase. This guy could technically cash in at any time on Braun Strowman or maybe any champion. They never really specified, and cash in and become champion. And I think some people may have forgotten about that. And there may be some people who think that Otis is going to cash in this weekend at SummerSlam. Right? You never see it coming. That plays into the theme, too. Maybe Otis is going to cash in on The Fiend. Maybe Otis is going to cash in on Braun Strowman. We don't know. Well, I have a different take on things. Out comes Otis. Right? Out comes Otis with the briefcase. He does not want to see his beautiful peach shaved bald. He does not want to see his beautiful peach turned into a nectarine. And he has a little bit of an offer for Sonya Deville. Otis is going to hand over his Money in the Bank briefcase to Sonya Deville if Sonya agrees not to shave Mandy's head. She literally has the razor to her skull, or not the razor, but you know, the electric razor. And Otis says, "This is yours. If you leave her alone," and Mandy, of course, is trying to talk him out of it. "No, no, no, Otis, it's your briefcase. You can't do this." But Otis is so in love with this woman. Otis is so in love with this woman that he's just, you can't talk him out of it, right? And it's totally believable because a lot of men do a lot of really stupid things for women. And this would be one of them. But Sonya takes him up on the offer. Sonya can't believe it. She's like, yeah. And she grabs the briefcase out of his hand. Mandy is spared, so it's a bit of a cop-out on the stipulation, but the big twist is that Sonya Deville now owns the Money in the Bank briefcase. And I know that we already had a Women's Money in the Bank winner. Asuka won the Money in the Bank, right? Back in, what was it? I guess May, right? May was Money in the Bank. But this is WWE. Remember who we're dealing with here. This is WWE. They don't pay attention to the little details like that most of the time. They change the rules of things to suit whatever their needs are. So I don't see why this can't be a similar situation. They pay such little attention to detail sometimes with these things. It can be easily explained away. And now Sonya Deville, who deserves a push, an even bigger push on this show, is now the Money in the Bank briefcase holder. Otis is not going to be WWE champion. Let's just face facts. Otis is not going to be WWE champion. Otis is not going to be the Universal champion. There is no great scenario in which Otis cashes in right now. There isn't. I mean, you're waiting for Otis to cash in. Is anybody really waiting with bated breath to see Otis cash in on Braun Strowman? And do you actually believe he's going to win the championship? No. So to me, it's not really a great loss. It actually plays perfectly into the storyline to have him sacrifice the briefcase for a title that he's never going to win. You know, and I've heard a million different scenarios about how Otis is going to cash in for a tag team championship shot with Tucker so Heavy Machinery can get a shot at the SmackDown tag team titles. Why? Why? That would be even dumber. At least in this case, you could argue that he's just blinded by his love for this woman. And like I said, it's totally believable because a lot of men do a lot of really dumb things for women. Right? It's not that hard to buy into that. So Sonya Deville is great. It would immediately vault her into a bigger role on the show. And I'm going to get to that later. That's only the first part of this playing out. That's the first half. Apollo Crews against MVP for the United States Championship. We have a U.S. title match on the show. I like the Hurt Business. And I like that Apollo Crews has gotten himself a bit of a push. I didn't think they would sustain it for this long. I thought by now Vince McMahon would be bored. And Crews would be back on main event, like Mustafa pinned me. But I like that he's gotten himself a push for the first time in his career. He's a talented guy, right? Very athletic, very talented. So I'm happy for him. The stuff we saw involving the Hurt Business at Apollo Crews and Ricochet and Cedric Alexander and Mustafa pinned me on Monday Night Raw, I thought this past week was awful. I thought it was awful. I thought that Monday Night Raw show sucked. I thought it sucked. I just thought it sucked in general, not even just as a go-home show. I thought Raw sucked this week. And the stuff they did with these guys, don't even get me started on the 24/7 nonsense. The 24/7 nonsense with Truth and Shelton and Cedric. And Cedric won the belt, but then it goes back to Shelton. You know, I mean, I feel like if I was 12 years old again, if I was 12 years old, transported back in time, and I was watching Monday Night Raw now, I was watching this version of Monday Night Raw, I would change the channel. this would not appeal to me. That said, the one thing that is clearly going somewhere is the story with Cedric Alexander. This is something they planted seeds, you know, with on TV now for a while. They were playing it up again on television with MVP, you know, going over to Cedric. Cedric was kind of the odd man out. There was a big six-man tag match on TV, and Cedric had been in the full Nelson at the hands of Bobby Lashley earlier in the show. And Apollo Crews was like, all right, look, it's going to be me. It's going to be Ricochet. It's going to be Mustafa. You sit this one out. And Cedric is like, man, I'm okay. He's like, no, you sit this one out. So now he's like, you know, he's like the kid in Dodgeball who didn't get picked, right? It's just playing into the storyline that much more. MVP sidled up next to him a little bit later on and said, hey, these guys don't like you, man. They don't respect you. Look at this. They got you on the back burner here. And MVP said to him, he goes, look, the offer I made you all those weeks ago, the offer still stands. You want to take me up on the offer to join the Hurt Business? My offer still stands. And he walked off, and you can see the frustration on Cedric's face, right? So clearly this is going somewhere, and clearly this is leading to a split between Cedric and Ricochet. It may well be Cedric Alexander joining the Hurt Business. So that is a story that has been playing out for a while on TV. Now is not the time for that, though. Now is not the time to do the turn and have it cost Apollo Crews the championship to MVP. MVP does not need to be the United States champion. The match that this should have been at SummerSlam was Apollo Crews defending the championship against Bobby Lashley. Why is Bobby Lashley on the outside and MVP has a match at SummerSlam? That doesn't make any sense to me. The match should have been Crews and Lashley. Crews needs to retain here so that he can then lose the championship to Lashley. That's the scenario that needs to play itself out. We already know Bobby Lashley couldn't win the WWE title. He couldn't beat Drew McIntyre. But he could win the United States Championship. If he can't win the U.S. title, then what the hell is this guy even here for? I feel like a fool for even suggesting that the Raw Underground shit would have led to Brock Lesnar coming back and challenging Bobby Lashley. Boy, that went nowhere. We haven't seen the Hurt Business back on Raw Underground in the last couple of weeks. That at least would have made the whole idea worthwhile. It would have led to kind of a big match. Obviously, they have other ideas. But that should be the match. It should be Crews and Lashley, and you do the title change there. So I'm picking Apollo Crews to retain the championship. I think Apollo beats MVP to retain. Then he defends the title, and he loses it to Lashley at Payback. Payback is a week later. I think coming out of SummerSlam, we get the Lashley match. That could be where Cedric maybe factors into things, and Lashley ends up walking away the United States champion. So that's my prediction on that. Naif Al-Safar with the $10 Super Chat. Great content as usual. And Ashley Zarzor. What's going on, Ashley? Thank you for joining me this afternoon. Thanks for the distraction, she says. Love your idea for the Sonya and Mandy end. It is a little bit out there. And I know some people aren't going to like the whole idea of the Money in the Bank going back and having two females cashing in Money in the Bank, but again, it fits the theme of this show. You'll never see it coming. It's a bigger push for Sonya. It just works on so many levels. Yes, Otis comes out of it as the dumb babyface, but again, he's blinded by love. Otis is in for heartbreak at some point anyway. We know this. We know how this story ends. It always ends this way. It's WWE. It always ends this way. The Street Profits defend the Raw Tag Team titles against Andrade and Angel Garza. And that look of Brandi Rhodes you see on your screen right now, that disgusted look, was her watching the segments with these guys on Monday night. Me and Brandi are on the same wavelength here. So they had the big poisoning reveal on Monday night. Instead of dragging it out any longer, they had Angelo Dawkins. He appeared on the Tron. He had the Bachelor woman with him. She was back again. What's her name again? Demi? The Bachelor lady? So he was, because she's been flirting with Angel Garza now for a while. And Angel Garza went out for a match, and there's Angelo Dawkins on the Tron, and he's teasing that he has video that he has come into possession of that would be very interesting that he is going to show the world. He's going to show this video to the world. We have no idea what the video is. And it leads to him showing footage of Zelina Vega. I guess the night that Montez Ford was poisoned. She's got her back turned, but she's putting something in someone's drink, and she walks away, and we see a red Solo cup. And so obviously we're supposed to believe that it in fact was Zelina Vega who spiked his drink. And here I thought they were going to go, I mean, you talk about you'll never see it coming. That was the most predictable outcome. They went the predictable route after all. So Montez Ford showed up. They didn't hold him off until SummerSlam. He was there. And they attacked Garza and Andrade, and Garza and Andrade ran off. And later on in the show, Montez Ford beat Andrade in 3 minutes with the dreaded roll-up. So Montez Ford gets the win. Garza and Andrade, in my opinion, should be getting singles pushes. I think they're both great. Garza's got a very bright future ahead of him. They're a good team, but they should be getting singles pushes. So I think that the Street Profits are going to retain. They shouldn't just be forced into being a makeshift tag team. Street Profits retain coming out of SummerSlam is my prediction on that. Nothing worse than dried chicken. My 10-year-old, let's see here, my 10-year-old and my friends hate the 24/7 title now. Only now? What happened to the last 6 months? The 24/7 title has been crap for a lot longer than that. Good grief. 24/7 garbage is more like it. But at least your friends and your 10-year-old, they finally came around. I think your 10-year-old is hanging around with the wrong people. Asuka. Asuka challenges Sasha Banks for the Raw Women's Championship. JC Zephyr, I see you in the chat. JC Zephyr was joining us last night on the NXT stream as well. So it's good to see him back here on a Thursday afternoon. Asuka challenges Sasha Banks. So, Asuka comes into this show with two title shots, right? We know she's getting a shot at two champions. Oh, Boombox Brock. That's one of the new super chats. Boombox Brock. Just Jared from Brooklyn. What is something really stupid that you did for a girl? I'd rather not say. I think this guy almost fell. I'll get back to you on that. I've done a few stupid things, but I have to figure out what I can share and what I don't want to share. But yes, Asuka comes into this show with two title shots, one for the Raw Women's Championship, one for the SmackDown Women's Championship. She won the tri-branded Battle Royal on SmackDown last Friday, which I enjoyed. I enjoyed that Battle Royal on Sound Off 665. On Sound Off episode 665, I pitched an idea for a triple threat match. Instead of doing two singles matches, I pitched the idea that you kind of the WrestleMania 2000 thing with Jericho, Benoit, Kurt Angle, where they were all involved in one triple threat match. The first fall was for the Intercontinental. The second fall was for the European title. And I proposed a similar situation here because Asuka and Bayley and Sasha, they all have issues with one another. And the idea that you can get Bayley and Sasha in the same match, where you would think they would just help each other, it would be like a handicap match, but there's that underlying tension, right? You never know if one might pull something on the other. I just think it makes for a better match, a better scenario in that case. I would have the first fall be for the Raw Women's title, the second fall be for the SmackDown Women's title, because to me that's the bigger story, is Bayley potentially losing the championship that she's held now for over 300 days. Bayley has been champion for almost a full year. She's about a month or two away from being champion for one full calendar year. So her potentially losing the title is a bigger story than Sasha Banks. Sasha Banks had been the Raw Women's Champion for what, 2 weeks? 3 weeks? So the second fall would be for the SmackDown Women's title. My idea would have had Asuka win back the Raw Women's title. But then for the second fall, Sasha shocks her friend. There might be a distraction from Shayna Baszler with Asuka. Bayley is distracted. Sasha pins Bayley. It shocks her friend to win the SmackDown Women's Championship. So in that idea, in that scenario, that's how that would have played out. And then that plays into their tag team title defense at Payback. We already know that they're going to be defending the women's tag team belts the following Sunday, right, at Payback. We already know that. So since it looks like that is not going to happen, they're not going to do this, and they're going to keep it with two separate singles matches. Here's my prediction. I have been saying that at least one of them, preferably Bayley, but at least one of them should keep their title. so that when we get to a point where we get the inevitable Sasha Banks Bayley match, there is a championship on the line. I still feel like there should be a title on the line, which is why it would be important that one of them keep their belts. And I still kind of feel that way, but I've pulled back on that a little bit. And look, maybe there still will be. When we get the eventual Sasha Bayley match, there could very well be a championship on the line, just because if they were to lose both their belts on Sunday, doesn't mean that one of them can't get their belt back. So that could still very well happen. I would put the match with Sasha on first in the show. I would do the Raw Women's title match first earlier in the show. And I would have Asuka win back the title. I would have Asuka win back the championship. Bayley tries to give Sasha the assist and it backfires, right? Because they've been helping each other out. Well, this time it backfires. It doesn't work. And Asuka wins back the Raw Women's Championship. So that's one down, one more to go for Asuka. Asuka wants to be Asuka two belts coming out of this show. One down, one to go in that scenario. Okay, that brings us to later in the night. Bayley defending the SmackDown Women's Championship against Asuka. 313 days, I think as of today, that's what I had written down. 313 days as the SmackDown Women's Champion for Bayley. That's a hell of a run. That's a hell of a run for Bayley. I've made this comment before. I've said that Bayley is one of the stars to me of this pandemic era with these WWE shows, and there really is not a lot to be happy about with these WWE shows in the COVID era. But the empty PC environment and her talking trash, and she just has gotten really comfortable in the role. And I think that the pandemic era has been very good to Bayley. She's been one of the stars, really, of this pandemic era. And I saw the report that Vince McMahon is said to be a big fan of her work. And I'm thinking to myself, that's cool for her, because I'm sure there was a time where Vince McMahon probably looked at Bayley and looked at Sasha and Becky and Charlotte and thought that Bayley was kind of the odd person out. You know, Becky went on to become a big star. Charlotte was always going to be a big star no matter what. Sasha Banks, to me, is money. You know, her look, the gimmick and everything else, the merch you could sell them. You can make a lot of money off that woman, and I'm sure that they already have. And then there's Bayley. And now Vince McMahon has woken up to the idea that, hey, Bayley is pretty damn good. So, again, the COVID era has been good to her. But all good things must come to an end. All good things must come to an end. With Asuka having already won the Raw Women's title, now she's gunning for her second belt. Sasha Banks comes back out. Now, Sasha, in this situation, has already lost her championship. Right? Bayley was going to help her. It didn't work. Well, here comes Sasha Banks, right? Sasha Banks comes out, and Bayley is expecting her friend to provide the assist to her in her moment of need, because things are not going well for her in this match, and she's expecting Sasha to be there to help her retain her championship. The only problem is, things don't exactly work out the way that Bayley had hoped. And Asuka taps Bayley out to the Asuka lock to win the title, and Asuka becomes Asuka two belts. So now Asuka is the Raw Women's Champion, and Asuka is the SmackDown Women's Champion. She has done it, and Asuka is the queen of both divisions on Raw and SmackDown. But I hate this two-belt shit. I am not a fan of the two-belt stuff at all. I don't like it.
Potentially Omega turning heel. But I was thinking that Hangman could turn heel and be part of the Four Horsemen.
We've already seen a lot here. Hold on a second here.
Potentially Omega turning heel. But I was thinking that Hangman.
Are you hearing this? I'm hearing audio coming out of my speaker here. That was weird. I don't know where that came from, but hopefully you didn't hear that. But if you did, I have no idea where that came from. That sounded like we got an early call-ins here. Man, that knocked me off my game here. I wasn't expecting that. Anyway, like I said, I don't like the two belt stuff. I'm not a fan of the two belt stuff. So you might be asking yourself, well, if you don't like the two-belt stuff, then why are you predicting Asuka to win two belts? Well, I'm getting to that. So Shayna Baszler, after the match, Sasha smirks. She walks out. Shayna Baszler shows up. She attacks Asuka from behind and puts her in the clutch. Somebody in the chat said Retribution. Retribution is trying to invade my stream. It ain't going to work. It ain't going to work, you angry little elves. It's not going to work. So Sasha Banks smirks and leaves. Shayna Baszler comes out. Kira Fuda clutch. She puts Asuka in the clutch. She's choking her out. Remember, Shayna Baszler told Asuka point blank on Raw a few weeks ago, I want you to go to SummerSlam, and I want you to win the championship. Good luck. I'm rooting for you. I want you to beat these people. I want you to beat Sasha Banks because then I get to beat you. After SummerSlam, I'm coming for you, and I'm coming for your championship, right? That's what she told her on Monday Night Raw. Let's not forget that. So here she comes out, and she chokes out Asuka and puts her out. And look, I know that Shayna has the feud going with Nia Jax. Fuck Nia Jax, okay? I don't give a shit about Nia Jax against Shayna Baszler. Shayna Baszler should be doing other things. She should not be feuding with Nia Jax. So I understand that that's the feud that's going on, which makes this a little unlikely. I don't give a shit. Hopefully they come to their senses and they remember what they had Shayna tell Asuka just a few weeks ago. She's gunning for the championship. She's not gunning for Nia Jax. She's gunning for the Raw Women's title. Asuka now is out. She has put Asuka out. Asuka is out cold. Moshmaster D dropping $50 here midday on a Thursday. That's going to pay for a lot of lunch and some of these phone calls that we're going to take later. Holy shit. Moshmaster D, thank you very much. I'm going to get to your super chat in a second. Let me finish this. So Shayna just sent a message to Asuka loud and clear. And suddenly, who should come out with a referee in tow but Sonya Deville, the new Money in the Bank holder. Here comes Sonya down to the ring. She sees her opportunity. She gets into the ring, and Sonya Deville cashes in, and she wins the SmackDown Women's Championship from Asuka. You'll never see it coming. That's the tagline of this show. You'll never see it coming. How many people could say that they saw Sonya Deville coming out of SummerSlam as the SmackDown Women's Champion? They probably saw Sonya coming out of SummerSlam with a bald head, with a cue ball. And instead, she ends up walking out the SmackDown Women's Champion. No Asuka two belts. Asuka two belts for 2 minutes. That's it. Shayna Baszler saw to it that Asuka would only leave with one belt, and it's the belt that she wants to go after on Monday Night Raw. And so this accomplishes that. The reason I love this idea, besides the fact that I came up with it, but the reason I love this idea is that it serves so many different masters, right? It serves so many different purposes. It, first of all, it elevates the tension between Sasha and Bayley. It puts this, I mean, it's been teased now for months, but it puts this into just a state of hyperdrive, right? As far as where this goes from here, which is payback and probably dropping the women's tag team titles. It positions Shayna Baszler as the next contender on Monday Night Raw, challenging for the Raw Women's Championship, which I think is the role that she should be in. So it solidifies her as the next challenger to Asuka. And it ends this dumb two belts bullshit. Because like I said, I'm done with the two belt stuff. We had it even briefly with Keith Lee in NXT. I'm done with the two belt stuff in this company. No more. No more. And it instantly makes Sonya Deville a player on the main roster. I know she's been involved in this storyline on TV, but this elevates her to a level that she has not been at in her career in WWE. She's being rewarded for, I think, putting in some of the best work that she's ever done over these last few months. And now she's the champion. So I love it. It just serves so many different purposes. I mean, look at that. Look at that. I just accomplished four things with that finish. It's not just a random finish. It accomplished four different things. That's what I love about it. It accomplished so many different things. Now, the only thing is, that means that there is no singles title anymore for Banks and Bayley to fight over. But again, that can be resolved easy enough. Moshmaster D, I thought we would see Raquel make her main roster debut to play the China role for Banks and Bayley. It would be more interesting to make both women's title matches. Helena, oh my God. Well, that doesn't sound good. Well, we'll try to talk over this. But he thinks that both women's title matches, Hell in a Cell at SummerSlam. Well, maybe. Raquel Gonzalez, I mean, she when she came out last night and booted Io Shirai in the face, I mean, I was raving about that big boot last night. I mean, she was out there looking like Diesel in 93 coming to the aid of Shawn Michaels. So she's got a bright future ahead of her. I think that there's a lot of good things that are in store for her in the future. Adam with the $10. Thoughts on Seth Lugo starting tonight? Ugh, I try not to think about this. I try not to think about all the Mets stuff. It's just overwhelming to me. I'll tell you later. Jacob Donnelly, this is still the greatest super chat. Still, oh, the Undertaker 420. Yes, Undertaker 420 is indeed the best one. Nothing worse than dried chicken. Does anyone remember when the Sasha and Bayley had a rift? Bayley said to Sasha, "You don't hold down titles for too long." I think that line is going to make a comeback. And Cuba the Goat wants to know Drake or Lil Wayne. Probably Drake. And JC Zephyr, hey, Solomonster, did you get any chicken soup? I did not. I did not get. You just asked me that question. I got that question last night. It hasn't even been 12 hours. It's only lunchtime now. I'm going to have chicken soup for breakfast. So, no, I have not had chicken soup yet. Although, if you missed the stream last night, the reason he's asking that is I did reveal that I am a big chicken soup fan. But, no, to answer your question, I have not yet had the chicken soup. We'll have to rectify that. Seth Rollins. Yes, indefinitely says chainsaws outside my house. I'm telling you, retribution is here, man. That is a chainsaw outside my window. The glitch is the chainsaw. Something's going on here. I keep looking around to see if I see retribution anywhere. They might bite my ankles. I'll keep looking and I'll see if I see them anywhere. I'll let you guys know. Seth Rollins with Murphy in his corner against Dominic Mysterio with Rey Mysterio in his corner. It is a street fight. It seems strange to me that they're doing this and not a tag team match to get Rey Mysterio in the ring for an actual match. I assume that's just the product of him. You know, he was negotiating up until recently for a new contract, and maybe they didn't know what he was going to do. He got an offer from AEW, and that's probably as much of the reason as anything why Rey Mysterio has no match on this show. Otherwise, I think they would be doing a tag team match. Dominic has impressed me on TV. Dominic has impressed me for what he has done on TV. He hasn't done much, but he's impressed me. It really goes back to his involvement in the match with his father and Brock Lesnar. And no, I'm not talking about No Way Out 2004, his other father. At Survivor Series last year, Rey Mysterio and Brock Lesnar, Dominic got involved. I think they did like stereo 619s, and Dominic went to the top rope. And I don't know, he was doing all this stuff, and he seems like a natural at it. So I think he's got a good future ahead of him. He's still young. I do wonder about him being put on TV so quickly, if he's ready for that spot yet. But so far, he's impressed me. Obviously, he took that vicious beating a couple of weeks ago with the kendo sticks. He had welts and bruises all over his body, bloody welts everywhere. So, you know, he took a beating. That was his initiation. That's what that was. That was his initiation into WWE. Despite all the goofy eyeball stuff from the horror show last month and all of that, that angle with Dominic all tied up, defenseless, and Seth Rollins looking into the camera, taunting the kid's father. That was a pretty heavy angle. That's the kind of angle that can sell people on a pay-per-view match as like the dastardly heel. You just want to see this guy get his comeuppance. That's part of what I loved about it. It was a very old-school angle. And that's a big part of why I liked it. I expect this to be a really good match. There's going to be a lot of bells and whistles. You know, Ray's going to be out there. Murphy's going to be out there. Obviously, they're going to get involved. It's a street fight. There's going to be kendo sticks. There's going to be probably chairs, all kinds of weapons, smoke and mirrors. So I expect this is going to be a good match, but this is still Dominic's first match. It is Dominic's first official match in WWE. And the tag team match still has to happen. It could happen as early as Payback the following Sunday. I don't know if that's too soon to come back with that or you want to wait until September. But to get there, Rollins, I think Seth Rollins has to win. So I'm picking Seth Rollins. I'm predicting a Seth Rollins win here in this match, which then leads to the challenge of a tag team match. And it's Rey Mysterio getting the match that he's always wanted. He gets to team up with his son Dominic against Seth Rollins and Murphy whenever they decide to do the match. But I think that's really what everything is building to. And look, if they are going to do some kind of a swerve here where Dominic ends up joining up with Seth Rollins and Murphy in his little ministry over there, even though it makes absolutely no sense for that to happen. But let's say Dominic, they were going to have him do that. It's not going to happen at SummerSlam. So I don't see that happening at SummerSlam. I do see a Seth Rollins win. And so that's how I think it's all going to play out. That is how I think it is all going to play out. Gareth Moore, Solomonster, Someone is breaking into your house. It sounds like it, right? Spade Racing, Austin 316 is going to meet Solomonster 9mm. Yeah. Well, I have an aluminum baseball bat. So, anybody wants a piece of me? What's funny about that, actually, is I actually still have an aluminum baseball bat that I used when I played Little League. I have it in a closet somewhere. It's got my name on it, magic marker. Can you imagine these retribution dummies breaking in, and I bash their skull in, and my Little League baseball bat with my name on it has, like, blood splattered all over it? How funny that would be. Jason Nightmare with the $2. Did you ever get your free meal at Hooters? I did not. And I am not going to any sit-down restaurants now anyway, so I can't even get my free meal. Naif, I like your idea, man. You should book these shows. I don't want that job. I don't think you could pay me enough to work in the creative department of that company. And Mr. Burgos with the $5. Got to give WWE credit for something. They definitely have hotter wrestlers compared to AEW. Here's hoping for a Ridge Holland debut and a feud with Drew McIntyre. Look, I'm a big fan of the potential that Ridge Holland has, but let's not get carried away here. I mean, this guy, he's got a ways to go before he's challenging Drew McIntyre. I mean, we're talking a few years before we get to that point. But I do think he could get there. I think he's got a ton of potential. Again, he reminds me of a young Brock Lesnar. Even though he almost killed Johnny Gargano on NXT last night, he reminds me of a young Brock Lesnar. Shout out to the chat. Want to just take a look at who we got hanging out with us on a Thursday afternoon. Man, we got a lot of people here. We got a lot of people hanging out on a Thursday, and just in time to talk about the Universal Championship, Braun Strowman or Gene Snitsky. Because when he walked out with that bald head on Friday night, I thought it was Snitsky. Gene Snitsky is the Universal Champion. He defends against The Fiend, Bray Wyatt. This will be their third encounter. The first one was Braun Strowman against Mr. Rogers Wyatt, Funhouse Bray. And Braun won. Because Funhouse Bray is the weakest Bray of all. So then we had the swamp fight at Extreme Rules, which, I mean, did Braun technically win? I don't even know who won. I actually don't know who officially won that match. And I reviewed that match, too. There's 66,000 people who watched that review on this YouTube channel. I don't remember the fucking official winner. Because Braun got dragged into the swamp and we saw The Fiend. So I guess, would technically The Fiend have been the winner? I don't know. I don't know who they officially recognized as the winner in that match. The point is, it's irrelevant. This is their third and probably final encounter. And this time, Strowman has to go up against The Fiend. It was always going to be about getting to The Fiend. The Fiend is the final boss in this video game. It was always going to come down to this match. That was always the whole point of this. And I got people in the chat saying that Bray Wyatt won. If you say so, I will take your word for it. I like to already just, I'm forgetting about those shows. I like to forget about those shows. It's been a few weeks. Let's forget that it even happened. That was the eyeball show. Yeah, let's forget that that happened. Alexa Bliss has been involved in this storyline. It goes back to the swamp fight when Bray was having these, Braun was having these hallucinations, and he was seeing Alexa Bliss as, I guess, Sister Abigail. She had the veil on her head. And the relationship there goes back a ways because Braun and Alexa were Team Little Big in the Mixed Match Challenge, and they've been friends for a while. So they had a relationship. Yeah, a lot of fans already knew they had this kind of friendship established, and they're playing off of that. But now Alexa Bliss, her involvement in this has been taken to a whole other level because The Fiend basically, he assaulted her. I mean, he gave her the mandible claw. She came back the next week like nothing ever happened. I would have kept her out until SummerSlam and then had her come back and do whatever it is that she's going to do. See, what I would have done is, because I want to get that title on The Fiend, I want to get that belt off Braun, I would have kept Alexa off TV until SummerSlam, and I would have had Braun not really turn too much to the dark side, but just go nuts, and he just wants his hands on The Fiend, and then Alexa comes back at the pay-per-view, and that's where she turns on Braun. She doesn't necessarily join The Fiend, but she turns on Braun, and that leads to The Fiend winning. But they already brought her back. They put her on TV. She confronted Braun. What's gotten into you? why won't you look at me? She's slapping him. Braun picks her up and presses her above his head, gives her a press slam. The Fiend's in the ring. I'm like, are they turning the Fiend soft? Because babyface Fiend is not something that I really care to see. I mean, there's still a lot of mileage, I think, in... I mean, he's called the Fiend. So I hope this wasn't the start of some kind of a babyface turn. I want the Fiend to win, but I come back again to the theme of this show where you'll never see it coming. Even though a lot of people, I think, would expect this to happen. I feel this whole thing with Braun and Alexa is one big setup. I think they're playing mind games. They're fucking with the Fiend. I think that this is all just a put on. It's all just a performance to screw over the Fiend. Alexa is with Braun. Braun is with Alexa. They're in cahoots. And in the end, Braun Strowman is going to retain the championship. But if I was booking this show, Alexa makes Braun pay for being a dick and for saying he doesn't care about her. He doesn't give a crap about her. She makes him pay for that comment. And the Fiend ends what has been a very uneventful run as the Universal Champion for Braun Strowman. And he takes the title. That's what I would like to see happen. I'm going to predict Braun. I'm going to pick Braun. Prediction-wise, I think Braun is going to retain. I don't like it, but I think Braun is going to retain. Because here's the thing also. I look at this. We don't know what's going on with Strowman, right? We don't know if they're turning Strowman heel or if he's only just being more sinister for the purposes of this feud, and then he's going to kind of just go back to being the Braun Strowman of old. We really don't know. We really don't know where exactly this is going. But I look at the lay of the land on SmackDown in terms of who's next. When you get past this feud, right, the Universal Championship has to be defended. Who is Braun Strowman going to defend the Universal title against? I mean, nobody really jumps out at me right away, but a lot of it depends on whether he's a heel or a face. When I look at The Fiend, I had said a month ago that I think Jeff Hardy would be a good challenger for The Fiend. Now, Jeff Hardy is getting an Intercontinental title match with AJ Styles. I don't expect him to... Well, that match is on SmackDown tomorrow night. That's not even a SummerSlam match. But I'm not expecting a title change on SmackDown tomorrow night. They may come back and do the match again at SummerSlam. I'm not going to give a prediction for a match that I don't know is happening on the show. I still think it's insane that they're doing this on TV tomorrow night. But it makes me think that maybe there's some kind of a wonky finish and they come back and do it again on Sunday. I think Jeff Hardy would be a good challenger at some point for The Fiend. Something tells me that they would match up well together. That would be a good heel versus babyface feud. And the idea that I floated on my NXT stream last night, Finn Balor, who has just been announced, by the way, for a match at TakeOver on Saturday, he's going to be wrestling Timothy Thatcher. So that is official now. But once the match with Thatcher is over, you know, and I said this last night, Balor has done all he can do on NXT. He's wrestled, I think, Ciampa. He's wrestled Gargano. He's wrestled Damian Priest. He's wrestled Velveteen Dream. He's going to wrestle Timothy Thatcher. He's wrestled a whole bunch of different people. He's had big takeover matches. It's going to be one full year. It was a year ago at this SummerSlam show that Finn Balor was beaten by the debuting Fiend. And then he disappeared. And he ended up back on NXT. Balor has done all he can do in NXT. And they can use more stars on that main roster. Bring him back. Bring Finn Balor back to SmackDown. And maybe it's not in the fall, maybe it's the winter, maybe it's Survivor Series, but we never got The Fiend and The Demon. And there's a history there. Balor got beat. There's a history you can play off of. The Fiend and The Demon, I think, is a match you can do. I just think the scenarios play out better if The Fiend has the belt. That's my two cents. That's why I would do it that way. Let's see here. Jackalope Music with the $5. Cameron Grimes. Boy, they love it when I say Cameron Grimes. And Nate with the $5. The Fiend becomes the friend. Yeah, that's what I said on my podcast this weekend, right? I don't want to fucking see that. The Fiend becomes the friend. Like the Funhouse. Imagine the Funhouse, but without all the sinister shit. It's like literally like another edition of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. It's a total. They turned it into. It's like when evil Doink became babyface Doink with Dink. They'll give the Fiend a little friend that he'll carry around with him. That's what they would have done if this was the company in 94. I don't want to see that. I don't want them to Doink the Fiend. I don't want to see that. And Scara, watching from South Africa, it is nighttime. Wow, you see, we got people all over the world, man. We got people listening from dropping super chats from all over the world. He is in South Africa. It is the middle of the night. I don't know how late it is, but I thank you for joining me. I thank you for staying up late with me. We got one more match to go here. And there's something else also I'm going to show you guys at the end of the stream before we take your phone calls. And I probably should put that up on the screen. We are going to be... that's not it. That's coming up a little later. There's the phone number if you want to call in. We will take calls, a few of them, in a little bit. But Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre is defending the WWE Championship against Randy Orton. I forgot for a second who he was defending the title against. He's defending the championship against Randy Orton. That tells you how into this match I am. So the whole you'll never see it coming theme seems to be tailor-made for this match and something big to happen at the end of the match, at the end of the night, which has me very worried that the idea is that Ric Flair was never really punted in the head because the lights went out. We never saw the punt a couple of weeks ago. So Ric Flair is going to come out. By the way, Ric Flair is 71 years old. And Ric Flair was hanging around the Performance Center. I know Ric Flair's wife was sick with COVID. Ric Flair does not need to be on TV. What they did with him a few weeks ago was the perfect write-off. It was the perfect write-off for Ric Flair. He served his purpose. He cut a great promo. It was a very, very good promo. He served his purpose. Now he goes home. I don't need to see Ric Flair come back and low blow Drew McIntyre. And Ric Flair is the reason why Randy Orton is a 14-time champion. I don't want to see that. That is a lame finish. And frankly, I think it's actually very predictable. I don't really see what's so unpredictable about it. If Drew McIntyre does not see that coming, then Drew McIntyre is a fucking moron. Talk about dumb baby faces. So I don't like that. I hope that's not the idea they're going for here. On Raw Monday night, they had Shawn Michaels on the show. Shawn Michaels was in the ring. He was talking about what Randy Orton did to Ric Flair the week before. This was not needed. They did not need Shawn Michaels on TV on Monday night. They absolutely should have done the Ric Flair angle on TV on Monday. That should have been the go-home angle to the show. It was a heavy angle, the Flair speech. He attacks the old man. He punts him in the head. Drew McIntyre runs out. And we get that final stare down between them. What a dastardly just piece of garbage Randy Orton is. That's all you needed to do. Instead, they did it 2 weeks ago, and let's send the Heartbreak Kid. We'll send Shawn Michaels out to the ring just because we have to put stars on the show to try to pop a number, I guess. So he comes out in his NXT hat, and he talks about Flair and justice will be served like he's the big fucking boss man and all this. And he made a very peculiar comment. He made a comment, he said that there would be justice at SummerSlam either from a sweet chin music or from a Claymore kick, which tells me that there's a chance he might actually plan on showing up. I don't want to see that either. Shawn Michaels has nothing to do with this. Why is he part of this? Shawn Michaels has nothing to do with this. I mean, I understand. I guess they wanted to put more heat on Randy Orton by having him kill another legend. The only legend he had to kill was Ric Flair. Ric Flair idolizes this man. He's been hanging out with him for weeks and weeks and weeks. We haven't seen Shawn Michaels on Raw in months. That's what I mean. You do that angle, do the Flair angle this week, and don't even bother doing this. But there's another reason why I was angered by them doing this angle. Randy Orton snuck up from behind Shawn Michaels. We knew this was going to happen, right? So he sneaks up from behind Shawn Michaels, and he drops him with an RKO. So Shawn Michaels goes down. His hat goes flying off. Not a pretty sight if you are someone who remembers Shawn Michaels from when his more youthful days. The hat goes flying off. He's been RKO'd. Randy Orton immediately transitions into a punt kick. Okay? So he RKO's Shawn Michaels, and he punts him in the skull. Drew McIntyre runs down. He chases Orton away, and Shawn Michaels barely sells it. He barely sells the punt. Now, look, it's one thing to see Randy Orton kick 71-year-old Ric Flair in the head. Well, I guess we didn't technically see it, but you know what I mean. It's one thing to see him kick 71-year-old Ric Flair in the head and you know, for Flair to be unconscious, which you would expect. If not dead, the man is unconscious, right? We've seen Edge. Edge is younger than Shawn Michaels. He just made a big comeback, in fact. He's a lot more able-bodied than Shawn Michaels is right now, in better shape. He's younger. He got punted. He was out. Christian, younger than Shawn Michaels, got punted. He was out. Big Show wrestled Randy Orton. Big Show punted in the head. Down and out. 55-year-old Shawn Michaels is in the ring on this show. He gets an RKO and a punt, both of Randy Orton's finishing moves, and he barely sells it. He props himself up in the corner. He looked lightheaded. He looked like he was a little lightheaded. Get that man a glass of water. That's what it looked like on Monday night. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. And you know what? The more I think about this, what I think may have happened here, because I see people saying, well, there's a rumor that Shawn Michaels was maybe getting back at Randy Orton because Randy Orton has made a lot of comments about Tommaso Ciampa and the NXT talents, and Shawn Michaels is, you know, Mr. NXT. I don't buy that for a second. Not that I don't buy that Shawn Michaels could be unprofessional. There was a time where I would expect Shawn Michaels to be a dick and do stuff like that. I don't think that has anything to do with it. You know what I think probably happened here? I think Shawn Michaels is very self-conscious. I think Shawn Michaels is very self-conscious about his bald head. And he got RKO'd, the hat came flying off, and he got kicked in the head. And all he wanted to do was scurry into the corner and sit up and try to protect, which ended up, it didn't matter anyway, because the camera got right up behind Shawn outside the ring and showed you his thinning, balding head. But I feel like he's very self-conscious about that. And he just, instead of being worried about just laying there and selling it, he just had to crawl into the corner and sit up. I don't know. Maybe I'm reaching here. But to me, I don't know if it bothered other people as much as it bothered me. There's no excuse to practically no-sell this guy's finishing maneuvers back-to-back. I mean, Randy Orton's putting guys down left and right just with one. Shawn Michaels ate two of them, and he's sitting up in the corner. It looked like he was checking on Drew McIntyre because Orton came back in the ring and gave McIntyre an RKO, and Shawn looked like he was checking on Drew. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. I expect Drew McIntyre to lose this match. I think Drew McIntyre is losing. I think he is going to lose the WWE Championship. I predict Randy Orton wins his 14th world title. The last big swerve they did at the end of a SummerSlam with Orton winning the championship, if you remember, was 2013, where Triple H turned on Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton cashed in Money in the Bank. I believe at the time he became a 7-time champion, which, I mean, think about that. If he had just become a 7-time champion in 2013, now he's going for number 14. It's kind of ridiculous, but it's the way things are, right? Everybody racks up these... It's all about quantity. It's not about quality anymore. It's about how many titles you can win. Somebody once sent a mailbag question into me for the podcast. And they asked me, they said, would you rather be someone who holds the championship for a really long time, like over a year or 2 years, or would you rather have a whole bunch of title reigns in the span of a year? So instead of holding it once, would you rather hold the title 3 or 4 times? And if I remember, my answer was, I'd rather just be the champion once. Because otherwise, that means I lost the belt 2 or 3 different times. To me, it's more impressive to hold on to the championship for a longer period of time and not be beaten. But, you know, today it's, you know, people's attention spans today, you know, title changes are a big thing, and it's, you know, hot-shotting title changes. And for the longest time, that's really what it was. I feel like they're actually a little bit better with it now than they were maybe 5 years ago, 10 years ago. But yeah, it's all about quantity and not quality, which is sad. But I thought that turn at the end of SummerSlam that year, which pissed a lot of people off, all the Daniel Bryan fans were really upset, I thought it was brilliantly done. That was a swerve that I did not see coming. And I thought that angle was just a masterpiece, the way it played out. I don't know if they could pull something off like that again here. I think they may try. I don't know if they can do it. I think Drew McIntyre has, unfortunately for him, his title run came at the worst possible time. From the moment he won the championship, and back then they didn't even have wrestlers in the audience. You know, he beat Brock Lesnar and had his WrestleMania moment in an empty building. And he's had to deal with all the COVID stuff and you know, people tuning out of the show in droves, holding him responsible for falling ratings. If Drew McIntyre is responsible, he is as responsible as everybody else that's featured on that show. And that includes Seth Rollins, and that includes Randy Orton, and that includes Kevin Owens, and that includes Rey Mysterio, and all your favorites. If you're going to blame Drew, you got to blame them all. They've all been on these shows. So I feel like the guy's been shortchanged. I do feel bad for him. I would not change the title. I would keep it on Drew. But similar to SmackDown, the problem is the lack of depth at the top of the card on these shows. Raw is as bad or worse than SmackDown is. You look at the depth or the lack of depth on this show. I mean, it's very thin at the top. You know, like Shawn Michaels' head. It's very thin at the top. And you look at what they have here. I mean, let's say that if Randy Orton wins, right? If Randy Orton wins, then what's next? All right, well, what's next might be a rematch with Drew McIntyre. All right, well, after that, what's next? Aleister Black should be in a much better position than he is now. I don't know what the hell they've done with Aleister Black, unless he really is out with a legitimate injury and they just did the storyline to cover for it, which I don't believe is the case. He should have been in a much stronger position at this point in the year. You could have done Randy Orton and could still do Randy Orton and Aleister Black. That could be a match. Randy Orton and Kevin Owens, who Orton just beat on TV 2 weeks ago. You know, even Mustafa Ali. I started calling him Mustafa Pin Me because of the way he's been booked and treated on TV ever since he came back, which is sad. The guy's off TV for 7 months, just waiting to come back. He's not hurt. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. He comes back. He gets a win his first night in a six-man tag, I think it was. And ever since then, that's what they've done with him. Mustafa Pin Me. That's what I've started calling him. Mustafa Ali actually has the right to have beef with Randy Orton. I know nobody at this point would even buy Mustafa Ali in this position. I wouldn't either. Which is what makes me sad. Had they played their cards a little bit differently, he could have been a believable challenger for maybe one pay-per-view. He wouldn't have won. Randy Orton is the reason that Mustafa Ali was not in the Elimination Chamber last year, which gave us Kofi Mania, which turned out to be, you know, a cool thing, but there's a history there. And now they can't even do anything with it because this guy is like a perennial jobber. He has no business even sniffing the world championship. So you can forget about that. Now, if Drew McIntyre wins, there's no one. That's it. There's no one. There's a rematch with Randy Orton, and that's it. Unless you put him in there with a babyface, like an Aleister Black or a Kevin Owens. But if you're going to do face and heel, you tell me. Who am I missing? Who am I missing? Maybe Samoa Joe is going to leave the Raw announce booth and come back as a heel. Drew McIntyre and Samoa Joe? I'd be on board for that. But I have no... There's no indication that Samoa Joe is being put back in the ring anytime soon. There's no one else. Seth Rollins and Bobby Lashley, these are people he's already beaten. Drew McIntyre has already beaten these people. And Brock Lesnar, he's beaten Brock Lesnar. Is Brock going to come back and get Brock Lesnar's revenge at SummerSlam? He's going to cost Drew McIntyre the championship, I suppose. I mean, now they're in the Thunderdome, so they can give Brock his lasers and pyro and all of his stuff. Maybe Brock will come back. But to me, that's just more of the same. So there are better options. They're not that much better, but there are better options if Randy Orton wins. Or, you know, Retribution can get involved. You know, maybe the big payoff here is Retribution gets involved and we get the big reveal of the mastermind on Sunday behind Retribution. I think they can milk this a little bit longer. I don't know that I would necessarily do the reveal on Sunday. Maybe that plays into it in some way. Can you imagine if Retribution costs Drew McIntyre the championship? And the mastermind pulls the mask off, and it turns out to be Jinder Mahal. Now, Jinder Mahal is a big man. Clearly, Jinder Mahal has not been running around on TV under a mask, or else we would see, because he's a big guy. I've met him before. I've interviewed him before face-to-face. He's a big dude. He's actually a nice guy. But I don't even want to think about that. That would be awful. That would be positively horrible. So there's not a lot of good options, but I do think Randy Orton is going to take it. I think Randy Orton is going to take the championship on Sunday, and that is your SummerSlam card. As far as the main card is concerned, Jason Nightmare, which do you recommend, Tinder, Bumble, or Hinge? None of them. They're all a waste of money. John Falchetta, bet Jim Cornette loved that HBK no-sell. Well, he doesn't like Shawn Michaels anyway. I get the sense that Cornette, because Cornette was in the company. He was in creative, and he was a performer at a time when Shawn was being a dick. And, you know, I've heard Cornette in shoots from over the years talk about the way that Shawn treated Vader. Shawn Michaels treated Vader like a piece of shit. And I don't just mean in their match at SummerSlam in 96. Like, he made Vader cry. He threatened to go to the office and ruin his career. All these, like, horrible, horrible things he did. Imagine Shawn Michaels bullying Vader. If Vader wasn't worried about his job, Vader would have pummeled him into the next galaxy. But when you're in the position that Michaels was in back then, where he's got the ear of the important, you know, person in the company, yeah, you're going to worry about your job. You're not going to want to piss those people off. So I can understand why Cornette feels the way he feels about Shawn Michaels. It goes back a long time. It goes back many years. Are we caught up? Okay, we're caught up right now on Super Chats. But if you want to keep sending them in, I'll get to you. I promise I will. But I want to show you this. I want to show you guys this. Now, what you see on your screen, and Sean O'Hare in the chat, this is live. This is, in fact, live. He was wondering if this is live. This is as live can be. And what you see on your screen right now is a bracket that the WWE Network Twitter account put up. And this is where they are. So the bracket is not finished. But the fans online have been voting for what they think is the greatest SummerSlam of all time. And it has come down in the semifinals here to SummerSlam 2002, SummerSlam 2000, SummerSlam 2015, and SummerSlam 2008. And as I look at this bracket, it makes me so sad. It makes me so sad. I know a lot of people are going to say, wow, how can 1992, where is it? There it is. 1992, if I could find it here, yeah, got bounced. It looks like it got bounced, I think, in the opening round. Got bounced by 2007. What the hell happened at SummerSlam 2007? That it bounced 92. But I look at some of these SummerSlam shows, you know, even 91, 89. I mean, there's been a lot of really great SummerSlam events over the years. Even 2013. 2013 was a good one, too. But I look at 2002 as, you know, one of the ones that are left. 2002, I mean, to me, it's a no contest, right? Are we all in agreement on this? That 2002 should go all the way? Probably top to bottom, the greatest SummerSlam of all time. But some of these other ones that these people have voted on, my God. I mean, my God. And I think it was Brian. I think Brian's actually in the chat. Brian Bird. I think he was the one who tweeted me and mentioned that a lot of younger people, a lot of kids who are voting in this poll. But again, I point out to you that when we hear about the demographics for WWE programming, I mean, we're talking like 50 plus. Like the average age of the Monday Night Raw viewer is literally, it's like around 50 years old now. I think this idea that there's all these kids, there are a lot of kids that watch WWE, no doubt, but it really doesn't make up as big a part of the audience, I think, as people believe. So I think a lot of people just voted for the more recent shows because that's just what they know. But this bracket, my bracket would look a hell of a lot different than this. But anyway, 2002 should win. No offense to 2000, that was a good show too. But anyway, it sounds like a lot of us are in agreement, which is good. Jonathan Coleman with the $2. You think Edge is going to win the WWE Championship? I don't think so, but I hope not. I hope the idea is not to get the belt on Randy Orton and have him hold it all the way to WrestleMania. Wait for Edge to recover from his injury was a tricep, right? Triceps. And then do Orton and Edge for the championship at WrestleMania next year? I don't think that needs to be for the championship. Just really don't think that needs to be for the title. So I hope not. I certainly hope not. Let's take some of your own predictions. SummerSlam. We are talking SummerSlam today. Spanish Goddess with the Roman is a wank pheasant super chat. That was one of the more interesting signs. You heard about EC3 debuting on Ring of Honor. Yeah, EC3 is going to be making his debut on Ring of Honor television soon. So obviously whatever kind of deal he has with Impact allows him to work for other promotions, I'm sure, except for WWE and maybe AEW. I don't know that necessarily means there's an active working relationship between the two companies, but maybe there is. But good for EC3. Now he's getting out there. He's going to try to... It's almost like he has to make a name for himself all over again. These last few years, he's just been in purgatory, and now he's got to get out there. He's got to get his star back on the rise. So good for him. He's going out there, and he's spreading his wings. It's good to see. It's been long enough since we've seen EC3 getting out there and doing his thing. Let's go to 903.
Hello?
Hello, 903.
Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine.
All right, perfect. You're on the air.
Oh, well, great. This is Israel from Texas again from 2 months ago.
Hey.
Well, first things first, I was glad to hear you talk about the whole Sonya Deville like situation. And honestly, I'm looking forward to Sunday just to get your opinions on just creepy fans in general and why they need to keep their hands to their fucking selves. I mean, it's absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, and it doesn't help when you have these events, these Comic Cons and fan access and stuff. You've probably seen the photos.
I mean, the first thing that pops in my mind is that infamous Becky Lynch photo where she looks so uncomfortable.
Yeah, I don't know why that's allowed. I mean, I was actually stunned when I realized that they actually allowed that. I thought they would have like a requirement of there being some kind of distance, or even if like you put your hand on the person's shoulder or something like that. But these guys are like, they've got their arms wrapped around these women, and these women look like they're being held hostage, like they're being held against their will. And I was blown away by this. It's creepy, it's disgusting, it's sad, it's pathetic, and it shouldn't be allowed. And I think going forward, it's not going to be allowed anymore anyway, but it should not be allowed. I was stunned that was actually not made clear. Like, you are not to wrap your friggin' arms around these women. It's just disgusting.
Absolutely. I 100% agree. Absolutely.
Anything else? Chainsaws are once again making noise outside my room. Retribution's trying to get in, but I'm telling you, they're not getting in. I got my baseball bat here. They're not getting in.
Speaking of Retribution, I was thinking about this a few days ago. Like, I know you don't like this, and I don't like it either, but no. I legitimately could see Retribution getting involved in the main event. Not so much as costing Drew the title, but more so jumping both Drew and Randy. And it ends in like no contest, and that leads into Payback, and then the Retribution interferes again. I mean, who knows? I mean, if Drew retains, maybe they could do something with him and Retribution. I mean, I wouldn't like it, but I mean, what else? You said it at best. What really is there left for Drew to do?
In terms of challengers, there's no one. That's the only thing. As much as I would not take the title off of him, I can't say that I blame them if they do. They have done a very poor job of setting up other contenders for that championship that people would want to see. So that's why I think Randy's going to get it.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. That being said, I can't see Randy winning the championship. Supposedly the theory is that management feel really bad for Drew's big WrestleMania moment being an empty arena. And so essentially what the plan could possibly be is having Orton win the belt at SummerSlam, and he holds it on till WrestleMania and drops it back to Drew, where this time there's at least sort of a resemblance of fans to be there to have Drew have another coronation.
There's no guarantee of that. I mean, there's no guarantee they're going to have... First of all, they're not having WrestleMania in the stadium in L.A. I know they haven't made any official announcements yet. I would be shocked beyond all belief if WrestleMania is going to still emanate from, I guess, SoFi Stadium, I guess is what it's called. That doesn't mean they can't have people...
Oh, fat chance.
Yeah, that doesn't mean they can't have people in a smaller building. Maybe by then, you know, you can have, I don't know, 50% capacity spaced out or something. But there's no guarantee you'll even have fans in the building for that. And so, I don't know, to take the belt off Drew just so that, you know, maybe we'll have fans and he can win it back. You know, it's a nice idea in theory. And I heard that same report. I don't know how true it is or not, but it sucks. I mean, the timing for him, it just was poor timing. I think back to the Royal Rumble. It's hard to think that this was this year, but I think back to the Royal Rumble and that big stadium in Houston. I think they were in Houston. And when he eliminated Brock Lesnar, when he Claymore kicked him out of the ring and they had that wide shot, oh my God, everybody was going nuts. When he won the Rumble, people legitimately were happy for him. They were cheering. And ever since then, it's just been very ho-hum. And I don't blame him. It's not his fault. I don't put the blame on him.
Yeah, it's like this. It's really unfortunate because Drew is such a good wrestler. He is, and he's a good talker too. I mean, he's basically the total package. It's just
he's
that,
improved. He's
this whole pandemic thing is really hindered his momentum.
Yeah. Being fired by WWE was probably the best thing that ever happened to him. It really was. In hindsight, it was the best thing that ever happened to him. It forced him to go out there. He made a name for himself, and he wrestled everybody across all these different promotions, and he got himself over, and he got himself rehired. That's why they rehired him back. And physically, I mean, he was much bigger and all bulked up and everything, he's naturally a tall guy, but he used to be kind of lanky. And so, yeah, he looks like the prototypical wrestler that you would think Vince McMahon would fall in love with, even with the accent, which I'm sure, Vince doesn't like accents. Remember the comment he made about Cesaro on the Stone Cold podcast? He's foreign or something. He said something
every
like
every fucking day.
Yeah, he made some ridiculous comment like that. But anyway, all good
points.
He
can't get over. Foreign.
Yeah, he can't get over that. But all good points. Anything else before we move on here?
No, that's about it. So
awesome.
I think I'll about to head out, and you have a good rest of your day.
Thank you. You too. Thank you for calling in. That was 903. Calling in. What the hell are they doing, man, on the other side of this? I'm a little worried that they're going to drill right through the wall and they might actually come in the room here. That would be very bad if that happened. I think I'm all right, though. It's brick, but then you got this cheap plaster, whatever the hell this is. Let's go to 850.
Hey, what's going on? You doing all right today, Solomonster?
I'm having a good Thursday afternoon because I'm joined by all of you, so I'm having a good day. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm at work, but I get to listen to you during my lunch break, so I was glad I got on before my lunch break was over. So I had two quick questions for you real quick. I remember your pitch on your last Solomonster Sounds Off about the idea of doing a triple threat with Asuka and Sasha and Bayley. And that idea, do you still think that may be possible? They may end up changing it because, like I said, that's an awesome idea with them doing it that way, like they did at WrestleMania with Kurt Angle before. That would be an interesting idea to do that so you could get Sasha winning the SmackDown title and Asuka winning the Raw. Do you still think it could be possible they might change it last minute?
I don't think so. I think if they were going to, they probably would have announced it. I mean, there's still SmackDown tomorrow night, so they could announce something on SmackDown then. But I'm thinking we're so close now, we're a few days away. Probably not.
Oh, okay. And then my last question is, you were talking about with Randy Orton more likely is going to win the WWE Championship. Could you see it where on TakeOver that Keith Lee actually ends up losing the title to Cross and then moving over to the main roster, going on Raw and maybe being a challenger for Randy Orton? That would be a new, fresh idea of something for Orton to do if he is a champion after he has a rematch with McIntyre. They could have Keith Lee maybe challenge Orton for the title for a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that wouldn't be a bad idea. And actually, you can play into the story that Randy Orton has been making fun of some of the NXT guys, I think, for thigh slapping. And I don't know if he was making fun of them for being small, or if that was just Pat McAfee, but if Lee were to come to the main roster and gun right for Orton, kind of as the representative of NXT, that could work. That could work, and it would get a new babyface on the roster and give Karrion Kross the NXT brand to himself to reign as the new heel champion. It's really the only scenario that I would like where Keith Lee loses, because I really think I would feel bad if they took the belt off Keith Lee so soon. But if they do it to put him in a prime position on Raw or SmackDown, then I think that's a good place for him to be.
Yeah, I could see that would be nice if they do that. It'd give a new fresh face on the main brand and something a little bit different, because you know everybody says tired of the same old shit all the time. So, you know, you got to do something different. You got the NXT brand for a reason. The main goal was to build these guys up to put them on the main roster, have fresh faces, and more likely than not, they kind of screw them up when they get on the main roster. So it's one of those things like, okay, you got to do something different. So, but I thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. You try to have a good rest of your day.
Awesome. You too. Thank you for the call. We had Michael in the chat. Let me just see if I can bring up what Michael just said. He was talking about AEW having crowds at 10 to 15% capacity starting August 21st. August 21st. Oh, here we go. Let's take a look at this. Let's take a look at this here. All right. Limited tickets for the live outdoor August 27th Dynamite on TNT go on sale tomorrow on August 21st at 10 a.m. Physically distanced tickets start at $30 in compliance with local regulations. So it looks like they're going to start having a low capacity number of fans in the buildings. If AEW is going to do it, then WWE is going to do it, because WWE is running Florida as well. And Vince McMahon is not going to want AEW to kind of beat them to the punch on this. So if that's the case, we may be getting fans back in the buildings sooner than I thought. Yeah, believe me, they're not going to allow AEW to kind of get one over on them like that. Although, my understanding is the agreement with the Amway Center is for no fans in the Thunderdome. So I think even if they wanted to, they may not be able to have fans in the building anyway until November, because the deal with Amway is up at the end of October. And if it's in the contract that no people are allowed inside, then there's nothing they can do. So that'll be an interesting story to follow. See how that plays out. Let us take a few more. 618.
Hey, Jason, I was here yesterday. I was the guy that was going a lot. The monk is back. Well, I have like a lot of questions, and I wrote them down this time. But I was listening to what you were saying about like Vince's view on foreign wrestlers. Do you think, because you had guys on the roster that were like Rusev and Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura, do you think Vince is too prejudiced against foreign wrestlers to push them?
I don't know that he's... No, I mean, I think that he just doesn't think that they connect with the audience enough. In some, you know, it's,
but they,
I guess,
can.
Well, you and I know that, but I mean, he's got his own views on why he feels otherwise. You know, Rusev have been higher on the card than he was? Yeah, he could have been higher on the card than he was. But Rusev, when he first came in, got a big push, right? He was undefeated for a long time. He was the U.S. champion. He rode out on a tank. We're talking guys going to the main event and being a world champion. I think if he found somebody who he felt he can make a lot of money with, if he physically looked a certain way, I think he'd be more
like
open to the idea.
Tucker?
Well, I mean, but Drew's the champion, right? So yeah, there's an example where he feels Drew checks all the boxes and he gave Drew the shot. So that I don't necessarily buy that. I think he's got certain prejudices is the right word, or he just has a certain view of things that I don't agree with in a lot of cases. But Drew is on top right now, so you can't necessarily say that nobody breaks through that glass ceiling if they're, you know, a foreigner, or if they have an accent. That's not always true, right? And Drew is a good example of it.
Oh, and I have another question. Mm-hmm. I've been looking at WWE recently, and I've seen there's a lot of factions. And it made me think, do you think WWE would consider someday doing like their own like version of the six-man tag team titles? Like New Japan or Ring of Honor?
I mean, I think if the circumstances were such that they felt they had enough trios that they could do it, they'd probably think about it. But I think there's a better chance we get that in AEW before we ever get it in WWE.
What's next for Seth Rollins? I mean, after this, like, what's next for him? Like, once upon a time, he was the most popular guy on the roster, and now it just feels like he's one of the guys again.
Seth Rollins, you're talking about?
Yeah.
I don't like the Monday Night Messiah gimmick at all. I think it's crap. I think Seth is a talented guy. He has great matches. I don't care for the character. I think the character's holding him back. I just think it's dull. I think it's boring. And eventually, Seth Rollins will be a babyface again. And if they get crowds back, maybe the crowds will get hot for him again like they were a few years ago. But he's in the same situation that a lot of guys are in right now. I mean, how many guys are really on fire right now? How many guys are really, like, super-duper over? You can't gauge it because there's no people in the audience. Wrestling is built on fan reaction and the cheers and the boos and the signs. And that to me, is the biggest problem with this. It's a lost year because we're left at the whims of Vince and Bruce to determine what's working and what's not, because the fans aren't there to tell us what's working and what's not. We're trusting Vince and Bruce to tell us what they think works and what doesn't work. And guess what? That doesn't work. So anyway, that kind of is, that's my spiel on why that is the case with Seth and a lot of other people.
All right, one more question.
I'll give you one more,
guys. This is my last one. Do you think this time away from WWE is giving fans a chance to get cured of what I like to call Charlotte fatigue?
Well, I mean, are you talking about her being away, or what are you talking about? Be specific.
Do you think her being away has given fans some time?
Oh, her being away.
Is going to give fans time?
No, because I think the moment she comes back, everyone's going to be like, oh man, Charlotte's back. So it's going to be like she was never even gone, because I expect her to be back probably in the next month or so. I don't think she's going to be gone that much longer. So she will not have been gone that long. I don't think she'll be gone long enough for people to have missed her all that much. So I think it's going to be right back to the same situation it was before. People, you know, bitching and moaning about Charlotte, you know, being back on TV and taking up a lot of airtime.
All right. Thanks.
Awesome. There's a lot of questions and a lot of answers to go with those questions. So let's see what's going on here. Yes, he had a lot of questions, but he came prepared. He wrote them all down. So at least this time he came prepared with all of the questions. I like people who are organized. Organization is very important. 520.
Slobber Monster.
Who am I talking to?
How was my Noah Mark impression?
I thought it was Noah for a second.
Was it a bad Noah Mark impression?
No, actually, you sounded remarkably like him. I almost hung up on you.
Sorry, it's been years since you've been called that, so I thought, well, why not do a little retro sound off
He calls me that every time we talk. If he ever calls me on the phone or whatever, how do you think the phone call starts? By the way, before we move on here, let me just, in the chat, Skara, I see Skara's message. I don't know, I'm trying to see which number you would be. Oh, I see it now. Okay, Skara, I'm going to get to you next after this call. I got you, don't worry. All right, go ahead. Wow, the chainsaws are coming through.
Maybe Retribution hired Leatherface.
I'm going to mute myself while you ask your question, so go ahead. That way you won't hear the noise.
Well, I was just saying, maybe Leatherface is tearing through your house. Retribution hired him for pocket change. Okay, about time to get to my questions before I die of heat out here. I'm baffled by the tournament brackets that you just posted up a little bit ago. And just to give, I guess, a quick opinion, if I were to determine the finals, I'd say 2002 beats 2000, 2015 barely beats 2008. And 2002 just washes 2015 like a bug. What do you think?
I think 2002 all the way. I mean, I think we're in agreement on that. 2002 was just a great, and the key matches on that show were great. And I'm looking at the other options here, and yeah, 2015 was not the worst. 2000 was very good. 2008, I honestly don't remember much. I think that was the year we had Edge, right? Edge and Undertaker. Was that Hell in a Cell in the main event?
Yeah. We also had that singles match, the first one between Batista and John Cena.
Oh, that's right. Where they tried to sell it like the reason Cena got hurt was because of the power bomb or something, which I don't think he actually got hurt in that match, but I think Cena was out, right? He was out and then came back and beat Jericho for the world title at Survivor Series that year. Is my timeline right on
that?
Yeah. Okay, good. See, I'm not totally I'm not totally out of my mind. Look, if you ask me questions about stuff from like the early 90s and stuff, I could probably tell you in an instant. But if I start getting questions about things that happened at like SummerSlam 2009 or some random pay-per-view from like the last 4 years, there is a chance I will have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, that's why you have your Saw Monster fans here to remind you.
That's right. You guys are there to back me up. Raymond Medina, thank you for the super chat. I did get it. The Undertaker 420. He says, chilling, just watching the stream while I work. I love it when people are at work and they're watching the stream. So, but don't blame me if you get in trouble, though. It's not my fault. But I do appreciate you putting the time in. But go ahead. There's one more question, and then I want to move on to a few other people. We got somebody waiting on the line in South Africa.
Oh, great. Now you had to make me pick because I had three more questions, but I'll go with one.
Pick the best.
Do you realize that we have not had an Intercontinental Championship defense on pay-per-view since WrestleMania? I mean, AJ Styles has been defending it only on SmackDown. I mean, yeah, he's had some pretty good TV matches, but don't you think it kind of, you know, even though they're trying to, you know, bring value back to it, in a way they're almost devaluing the belt. I mean, theoretically, we could have Styles and Jeff Hardy tomorrow night and just a straight-up match, and we won't have any Intercontinental title defense on SummerSlam. Think about that.
Yeah, I don't get it. I think it's ridiculous that we don't have AJ and Jeff being promoted for SummerSlam. I don't know if it's just because it's the first night in the Thunderdome and they want to make a big deal about the show tomorrow night on SmackDown. I still feel like we may get a rematch out of it on Sunday. But that's a crazy stat. I did not realize that. I did not realize it had been that long since we had an Intercontinental. It's almost, you know what, the way you're describing it, it's almost become like a TV title. That's basically what it's become. It's become a WWE version of the TNT title. And I don't necessarily like that. I'm not really a fan of that. I think the title should be respected a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. And because I'm a belt mark like you. I love, you know, the history of championships. And as a matter of fact, I'm about to watch the SummerSlam 92 match between Brett and Bulldog in just a little bit here. They uploaded on their YouTube channel.
Oh, well.
And I think back to those days, and Styles could be a champion like them in a way, but it's like not giving him any proper pay-per-view title defenses. To me, it's like devaluing the belt. Like, they're propping up the U.S. title belt with MVP and Apollo Crews. I love MVP, but it's gotten to the point where it's like, what about Styles, who is still one of the best in the company, if not the world? And it's just ridiculous. He could be defending against anybody. If we get a 24/7 title defense before an Intercontinental title defense on pay-per-view, I'm going to rip my hair out. And I have a lot to rip out. All right, have a good day, Saw Monster.
I had myself muted. I didn't realize I was muted. I'm sorry. Thank you. I see all the messages in the chat now. I was muted. I am unmuted now. You can hear me because these fuckers outside, I had muted myself, so you guys didn't hear all the noise. So I'm back, and I have with me on the line, I believe, someone very special from South Africa. Is that the case?
Yes, Solo Monster. This is Skara Myakayako. What's up, man?
Skara, what's going on? It's good to have you on the show.
All right, man. Am I the first caller you have from Africa?
I believe you are. I had somebody from Saudi Arabia a few weeks ago, but I think you are the first person from Africa.
Yes. And I'm glad that I finally get to talk to you, because for years you said South Africa was host to the worst Raw ever. But in 2018. I don't remember which city they were at. Some other city in your country took that.
Yes.
Shame.
Yes.
So we don't have.
That's right. And I did a whole review. It's up on the YouTube channel of the worst Monday Night Raw of all time. I think it was the very end of 2018. It was so bad. I did a whole like bonus show on it. So yes, you no longer have the award for the worst Raw of all time. That awful taped Raw show where they had it from like three different locations. This was back in 97. I think actually in it was in South Africa part of the show, and one of the matches I think was like Gold Dust against Road Dogg or something. And I think the way it was shot, it looked terrible, and it was just a boring show. And anyway, so yeah, you no longer have to worry about that. You no longer have the award for the worst show.
That's good news.
Oh, yeah.
Something else I gotta say. There was supposed to be a house show here in Johannesburg next month, mm-hmm. but due to the pandemic, it got canceled. So you were talking about house shows, them lessening down on house shows. So it looks like you may have been right on that call.
Yeah, I think that we're going to see less of them going forward. I don't think they're going to get rid of them completely, and I hope they don't. But I definitely think that they're going to be, and not just because of COVID, I think even after COVID, I think they're going to be reducing the number of house shows that they do.
All right. I don't really have a question, but I do have a suggestion for a show idea you can do.
Okay.
Do you know about Instagram Live?
I have heard about Instagram Live. I've heard about Facebook Live. I've not used Instagram Live. I think I did Facebook Live once, but I have not done Instagram Live, no. I have an Instagram that I really neglect. I have one, and I don't really use it as much as I should.
All right. The idea I was coming with is once you get familiar with Instagram Live, you could do a whole show on Instagram Live where a sound off inbox live where people can video call in to ask questions, and it gives you a limit of an hour. And then maybe you could upload that on your channel and we can just request and ask whatever questions you want to ask, man.
I mean, it's an interesting idea. I'm actually planning on doing another inbox very soon. I don't know if you remember the three that I did. It's been a long time. I really have to get back to them. But I did three video inboxes on YouTube at the end of last year where I put people's questions up on the screen. I had the graphics with the question. And I've got a whole batch of questions. I'm going to be doing one on YouTube. I might actually go live on YouTube in the next couple of weeks and do one there. But, I mean, I'm open to it. I'm open to doing something in the future on Instagram as long as I could put it on YouTube, just because the audience is going to be, you know, for me, a lot bigger on YouTube.
Yeah, you just need to let people know. And one more thing I say before I leave.
Sure.
It's 8 o'clock, yeah. So it's not that late.
Okay.
I didn't have to stay up late.
Okay.
The time difference worked out well. When you do a live day show, I can catch it live. Because when you do them after AEW or after a pay-per-view, it's like 2, 3 o'clock here in the morning, and that'll be too much. So these day shows work out good.
Well, that's perfect. That's perfect. Usually I only do the day shows you know, when I do predictions, you know, because now I'm working from home now, so I have a lot of jobs. I have a lot of different things I'm doing, but it allows me to take a break and do a stream. But, you know, if I do an inbox, that'll be a daytime thing. I'm thinking about starting to do watch-alongs. If people want to send feedback into me, would you watch that if I did a watch-along? My idea is that I would give you guys the chance to vote. I'd pick like 3 or 4 random matches that you can access on the WWE Network. And we would watch along. And, you know, I could talk about the match, talk about what led up to the match, coming out of the match. So I got a whole bunch of ideas. But if people are interested, if they're not interested, I won't do them. But hopefully we'll do more daytime stuff so that you can join and you can call in. I don't think I'll take calls on every stream. But if I did an inbox, you know, I would take email questions, super chat questions. So, yeah, man, I mean, hopefully we'll get you on the stream again in the future.
All right. I'll be looking forward to that. And if you do a live, a watch along, you should do one to a show that Russo booked.
Okay. Well, look, it would be one match, not a whole show, but I would put the decision in the hands of the people. I put a poll up on Twitter. That way the results are public and people can, you know, whatever they want me to watch, and then they can join me live in the chat on YouTube. We'll do it. So that's one of my ideas that I'm batting around, but go easy on me. Don't torture me with all this Russo stuff. Look, there was stuff that Russo did in the late 90s that I liked. So it's only when things really went off the rails, like in WCW and the stuff that came later on. But hey, you know, there's WCW stuff on the network as well. So we'll see.
All right. Hey, thank you very much, Salamanca. And until next time. Love the show.
Thank
Keep
you.
Doing your thing.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Thank you for calling in all the way from Africa. We haven't had, I can't think of anyone, really. I mean, other than him, he's probably the first one who I've had from that whole continent here call into the live stream. So you really can't beat that. Evan Wright, can I get a strong FTF, please? Well, if you tell me what it means, what does FTF mean? Is that revival related, or is that something that... I don't want to say. Ashley Zarzor, would you ever consider doing Quizlemania? I've gotten a few messages about that, and I don't know too much about it. I'm open to a lot of things. I'm a very open guy. You know, I'm open to. Let me rephrase that. So I'm open to certain things, but I need to just know more about it, and there has to be mutual interest in doing it. But yeah, I mean, I'm not opposed to the idea. Let's do this. Let's go to Detroit. I hope it's Detroit. 313.
Hello? Yes?
I can hear you. Who am I talking to? What's your name?
Oh, Jordan.
Hey, Jordan. What's going on?
I'm good. I was wondering about this matchup between Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton.
Sure.
Because you never know who's going to be there, because the thing is, you'll never see it coming. Because it feels like that Ric Flair is just faking this whole punk thing. Like he never did it. Like it was like he never got punk. Like what happened with him and Christian.
Yeah, like the lights went out and we never saw it, and so maybe he didn't actually kick him in the head.
Yeah, I think he's faking it. So like what he did with Christian, he's going to do to Drew McIntyre. I feel for real he's going to do that. But then we got Retribution, who could come out. Then you could have Retribution interfering. Then they interfere at Payback. Then the leader of Retribution, he unmasks himself at Payback.
Yeah.
Like, you think, like, there's nothing else for Drew McIntyre to do. But I think I know who is it that is one more thing he can do. He can face CM Punk. I think CM Punk is the guy for Retribution.
Oh, boy. Well, you know what? I tell you what. I don't think it is. I don't think it's CM Punk. I could be wrong. You know, you could be right. But... that is actually not a bad idea. The idea that you just pitched is actually very clever. It's very creative. It would give Drew McIntyre a big name for him to wrestle. And I think the WWE ought to consider putting you on their creative team, because you apparently have more creativity than they do. So I applaud you on a job well done with the idea.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Because we know that he's been out and people have been thinking, when is he going to make his return and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they've been saying that for years. I feel like if he was going to come back, he would come back when there's people in the buildings. And right now, we don't have people in the buildings. This would be kind of a weird time, I think, for him to come back. But look, a lot of people have come back over the years who people said, "Ah, he'll never come back," or, you know, "he left on bad terms." You never say never. I just don't think it's going to happen right now. But that would be a cool idea.
Yeah, because it will be an amazing return to make when there's people there.
Yeah, let me ask you.
Show the best
Yeah, I agree. Let me ask you a question. So first of all, how old are you? I want to get a sense of how old are you?
Yeah.
You're 10. Now, how 10. when did you start watching WWE? Have you been watching for a little while? Have you been watching for a long time?
I started watching it when I was 6 or 5.
Okay, so you've been watching it for a few years. So in that time, if you had to pick one guy who you thought was your favorite wrestler, who would that be?
I would think that it was, well, because I started watching WWE Network and going back and see all the old matches.
Good kid.
So then I've been watching old matches. Then I've been seeing the top matches.
There you go.
So I've been thinking.
I like this kid.
So I changed my mind about who's my favorite.
Okay.
So I thought that Stone Cold Steve Austin is my favorite.
Great choice. That's a great choice. I was gonna say you mentioned the older shows. I was wondering how far back you went. If you were gonna say Stone Cold or The Rock or Bret Hart or somebody like that, Stone Cold is a good choice. See now, do you agree that there really is nobody right now in WWE as big of a star as Stone Cold was?
Well, there's only one who could top him, though. It's the Ultimate Warrior.
All right. Yeah, Ultimate Warrior was a big star when I was young, when I was a young wrestling fan. So those are good choices, man. I got to say, you got a good taste in wrestling here. We need more fans like you going back on the network and watching older stuff and picking the names of all the older
stars.
Yeah,
I'm watching older stuff right now.
That's awesome.
I'm watching older stuff right now. Like one of the best matches ever. Well, the best SummerSlam in my opinion, which was 2005. Hulk Hogan versus Shawn Michaels.
So you like that? You were a fan of that match?
Well, I'm watching right now.
Oh, okay.
I heard it was a great match.
It was a fun match watching Shawn Michaels fly around all over the place. It was a very interesting match. Well, listen, this is awesome. I'm glad that you are going back and watching some of the old stuff when it was even better back then. Believe it or not. But this was great. This was great. And anything else before I let you go here?
Nope, that was it.
Awesome. Well, Jordan, thank you for calling in. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
All right, thank you. So that was 10-year-old Jordan calling into the stream. I got to tell you, that's better than 90% of the calls I get sometimes. That was great. I didn't know where he was going when he talked about going back on the network and watching older shows. I'm like, is he going back and watching Bruno and you know, Ivan Putski, or how far back is he going? And when he said Stone Cold, I was like, that's it. This kid's got good taste. This kid, once you like grow up on, or you watch the old stuff with like Austin and Rock and all of them, like you can't, there's no comparison. Like you can't compare that to anything that we've really had in the last like 10 years. So, in a way, I think he kind of spoiled himself. But yes, Jordan knows more than most. We would benefit by having a bunch of Jordans grow up to take over the creative reins in this company. Peter Weeb, thank you for the $15. In your opinion, would you agree with the idea that building new stars is so hard these days because the guys like Ziggler, who have been around for 10-plus years, are the ones they use to put guys over but are not big stars themselves? That is a very good point. When you have guys who really only made it to like mid-card level status and you're relying on them to put over guys and give them the rub, well, there's not much rub to give, right? Because guys like that were never really looked at as a top name. So I think there's a lot of merit to that idea. And Ryan Egler with the $10, thank you. I was not able to catch you at the beginning of the stream, so how contrived do you think the Seth vs. Dominic Mysterio match is going to be? First time super chatter from South Daytona, Florida. I don't know about contrived. I mean, I have bought into the story. I think Dominic has been impressive. He hasn't embarrassed himself so far. And I actually think, kind of like the Adam Cole, Pat McAfee match on Saturday, I think that these guys, I think Dominic and I think McAfee, are going to impress a lot of people. And I think they're both going to lose. I think Rollins is going to win, and I think Adam Cole should absolutely win. But it doesn't feel overly contrived to me. I'm kind of looking forward to the match, see what the kid is capable of. So listen, this has been a lot of fun. I've enjoyed. We had some great calls, man. We had Jordan call in. We had our first call from Africa. This has been great, and I appreciate all the super chats too, because these phone calls are not free, and I'm always coming up with new ideas and new things, and you know, putting money back into the show. So believe me, your support is helping the show out, and it's very much appreciated. So this was the second stream. Just grab my phone here, which is making noise. This was the second stream out of four that I'm doing between now and Sunday. I'm going to be back with you. I actually have a day off tomorrow, and I'm going to be back with you live on Saturday night. We're doing a hybrid stream, so it's going to be a mix of AEW Dynamite, which goes on the air after the NBA game or at 6 p.m. Eastern. There will be an overlap with NXT TakeOver. I'm going to try to watch both, and I'm going to be on the air talking both shows on Saturday night, so I hope you'll come on back and join me. And then, of course, Sunday is episode 666 on the Sound Off, dropping on Sunday on all the usual podcast platforms, which you can see right now on your screen there on the bottom. And Sunday night, back right here again, live on YouTube for the SummerSlam recap and the Wrestle Rumble contest. $1. Not young buck, balding buck, $1. It's all it takes to enter WrestleRumble.com, and you can win a whole bunch of championships. You can win 5 titles, including a mystery belt on Sunday night. I'll do the live drawing here on YouTube after the pay-per-view. Don't forget, on your way out, please give this video a thumbs up. It helps with the recommendations and all that good stuff, so that would be very cool if you guys would do that for me. And I'm out of here. Have a great rest of your Thursday. We'll see if I get my email from WWE about the Thunderdome test tonight. I don't know if I will or not. But if I do, I'll let you guys know. So be well, stay safe, have a great rest of your day, and I will see you back here live on YouTube on Saturday night. Take care, guys.